Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Tristan Taramino, and you're listening to Why Are People Into That? With Tina Horn. 2, 4, 6, 8. 2, 4, 6.
I'm so glad you're listening to the 25th episode of Why Are People Into That? The podcast that spritzes the air with rose water while it's fucking you in the ass. I'm your host, Tina Horn, and at the risk of comparing myself to greatness, this edition of Why Are People Into That is kind of the podcast equivalent of the pegging episode of Broad City. That's right. Today, my guest is Girl Sex 101 author Allison Moon, and we are both the kind of babes who will do a handstand twerk when you call us from your boyfriend's bathroom trying to decide if you're going to use that green dildo he's farcically persuaded you to strap on. Speaking of friendship, I just want you to know that every single time a friend of mine gets married or breeds or breaks up, I always get them something from Smitten Kitten. Visit smittenkittenonline.com to shop for toys, books, movies, and lube for any occasion with the most sex-positive customer service you'll find anywhere. Smitten Kitten is the exclusive sponsor of this podcast, and they're offering our listeners a special discount. Enter code Y, that's W-H-Y, when you check out to get a generous 20% off your order. Quickly, before we get to my conversation with Allison Moon, I just want to tell you that my very first book has finally been unleashed upon the world. It has a very long title. Are you ready for this? Love Not Given Lightly: Profiles from the Edge of Sex. Porn stars, perverts, femdoms, rent boys, and other professional lovers. I'm incredibly proud of this very strange little nonfiction book about sex work, and I hope you'll read it and tell me what you think. If you like leather, spankings, $100 bills, lipstick, enemas, fancy hotels, masturbation, hairy armpits, witchcraft, or complicated genders, Love Not Given Lightly has something for you. You can pre-order it on that online behemoth, you know the one, and it will be coming soon to an independent bookstore near you. I'm still so high from last week's launch at the Bureau of General Services Queer Division here in New York City, and if you are in the Bay Area, you can come to the Center for Sex and Culture for my West Coast release on May 3rd. I'll also be teaching my Digital Dirty Dispatches class at the San Francisco Armory that same afternoon. All the info you need for everything I just talked about is on the whyarepeopleintothat.com blog. So, lube on up and relax for Why Are People Into Pegging?
Perfection!
Hello, Allison Moon.
Hi!
Can I call you Allie?
Sure!
Great. Can everyone call you Allie or just me?
I might not answer to it, but that's not because I'm offended. It's just because I'm not usually called it.
Oh, nobody calls you that?
Only my partner and my parents.
Oh, that's funny.
And then anybody my partner talks to about me before I meet them.
That's funny.
That's kind of strange.
I feel like I call you Allie, but maybe...
Well, because you met my partner before you met me, and
yeah.
then he called me Allie, and then it stuck that way. It's how that works. It's actually a good barometer for me to know whether my partner has met somebody before I have.
What do you prefer?
Either is actually fine. Allison is usually what I am known by, but Allie's fine.
That's what makes your little ears, lesbian werewolf ears.
So, bleak.
Speaking of lesbian werewolves, besides being a charming, amazing person that I like having under my covers,
I am under your covers.
I was gonna riff on that, but I'm just gonna move on. Besides that, you have written some books. You're an author.
It's true.
And a storyteller.
Yes.
Including two and counting books about lesbian werewolves. Yes. Called...
The series is called Tales of the Pack.
Yes.
First book's called Lunatic Fringe, and the second one's Hungry Ghost.
Yes. And will there be a third?
Eventually. Uh-huh. It's become kind of a passion project. As anything goes with series, you kind of have to hook people in the first book, and then you lose people with every subsequent book. Mm. So I want to do it because I have a lot of people who are waiting for it, but at the same time, I have so many other things to do, so it'll probably be a couple years.
Yeah, that's fine. Anticipation.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be like Return of the Jedi.
Just like Return of the Jedi.
But don't make it like The Godfather Part 3.
I was actually really hoping that it would be like episode 1 of Star Wars, where people are waiting in line for it and then leave the theater completely crestfallen and miserable. I had a boyfriend in high school who did that. He waited in line for days for those tickets, and then everybody dressed up for the episode 1, and it was, I don't think this is a spoiler, a terrible movie.
No, that's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
So they left in the middle of it?
Oh, no, we watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
But,
it really is god-awful.
It's just terrible.
It's really, like, the worst.
It's terrible.
I did watch it, recently with some, 6-year-old, male children that I was, babysitting. Mm-hmm. And, it was interesting to see it with fresh eyes because they've been born even since the prequels have been out.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, it's even more of an American mythology than even it was for me. And I was born in 82.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw any of the original ones in the,
mm-hmm.
in the theater. But, also they were trying to, they're like, you're the good guy. You're the bad guy. No, I'm the guy with the spaceship. No, I'm the guy with the funny face. And then there was this moment where they were like, wait a minute. Is he, like, the kid that looks the most like mm-hmm. them, right? Is he the good guy or the bad guy?
Oh, hey! Okay.
And spoiler alert. And I was like, well? And, you know, they were definitely, like, looking at me very intently, like, mm-hmm. you need to answer this question for us. It's very important so we know who is who.
Right.
And I'm just the babysitter, you know? So so I'm like, well? Now he's good. Well, he's a little boy that looks like you.
Mm-hmm.
But later, he becomes the evilest person ever in the whole universe. Yeah. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
And they said, why? Again, I'm the babysitter. So I'm like, and I'm like, well, he made bad choices. Because that's what happens, right? He's not fundamentally evil.
Right.
He makes bad choices. That is why he becomes Darth Vader.
That's actually a pretty good education for kids to learn that not every bad guy you see is just born evil and hates the world because he or she hates the world.
Completely agree.
Yeah, okay.
Fair yeah. enough. Well, hopefully I made a great impression on those blonde little tau-headed children, but that's not what we're here to talk about at all.
Speaking of children, wait,
I cannot even resist an opportunity to talk about Star Wars. Did you see the new trailer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
Is it good?
I mean, it's a Star Wars trailer, you know. It doesn't have my, it's a teaser. It's very early. It's very early. Are you disillusioned, or will you be seeing the...
I'm pretty disillusioned. I didn't even see episode 3. The one where actually Vader becomes Vader.
Is that the one where Natalie Portman's face is really sweaty?
I don't remember.
No, that's the second one.
The second one is where Natalie Portman clone is running around, and that's when she falls in love, and they have that horrible montage of, like, falling in love,
In love, yeah, like in a meadow on another planet. No, I do remember that. No, it is the third one where she's sweaty because she's pregnant.
Because that's what that means in that world.
But I don't know. I mean, it sort of seems to me like you spend, like, $1 billion on her outfits and you can't give her a little bit of powder, like, in this.
It's all the off from the white cake makeup in the episode, too.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, Natalie Portman's doing fine. She doesn't need our help at all. But speaking of pegging... No, wait. We're going to talk about why are people into pegging, but first, I just wanted to say that besides writing books about lesbian werewolves, you've also written a book that is out right now, self-published as well. Mm-hmm. All of your books are self-published, correct?
Yeah.
That's very admirable.
Thank you.
So you have a book out now called Bad Dyke.
True.
And what is it that makes you a bad dyke?
Well... it's kind of an examination of what makes somebody anything in terms of sexual identity at all. But
sure.
The short answer is that I was a lesbian-identified person who fell in love with a man.
A cisgendered man.
Yeah.
How's that working out for you?
That's pretty good. 7 years strong.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, but I actually knew the answer to that question. But
he's sitting in the other room. It's good because for me, it was such an interesting journey around, like, you know, coming to anyone's, like, sexual identity is a journey, obviously, for most people. And then the interesting thing is that so many of us think that that's an arrival point. And
right.
Then what I actually learned was that, oh, like, I got to this place where I thought I was going to be. And then I'm like, oh, there's all this other stuff on the other side of it. And that was, you know, polyamory. That was being partnered to a person whose gender I was not expecting I would be partnered to.
Mm-hmm.
And exploring open relationships and non-monogamy and... you know, with my partner, and then with, you know, all sorts of other friends and sexy friends and lovers and stuff.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you're queer, you, in most cases in modern society, you start off with this default programming and then you have to go through this whole fucking thing to be like, no, I'm not. And then it's like, I'm still not. But it looks like I went back, but I didn't go back. I went forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. The going forward is really huge. And I think there's also, like, in the lesbian community specifically, there's this, the mythology of the has-been. So I think that it does in many ways become this, like, kind of backsliding that they talk about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I really do think it is, like, you know, for me, my partner is just the exception. Like, I'm still attracted to almost exclusively women.
Mm.
But it's just kind of, he just got in, you know, he just slipped right in, and there he was.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, and I think that's, for me, it's important to talk about that, is that's my narrative. Like, I chose to love him, even though I could have chosen to, you know, just say, I'm sorry, I'm a lesbian, and close the door.
Yeah.
But instead I'm like, well, hey, you know, love is hard enough to find in this world.
Fuck yeah,
it is. Why the hell would I be sending it away when it's right there in front of me, so...
Amazing. Well, I agree. So I'm wondering if pegging had anything to do with it.
that was a very graceful segue.
Thank you. Thanks. Remember yesterday when I was like, I'm going to work that in? It took me all day to figure it out, and here we are. I slept on it.
So yes, Tina Horn, pegging did have something to do with it. Pegging had a lot to do with that, actually. The first time my partner and I had sex, it was when I pegged him.
Uh-huh.
And
Now, for our listeners at home, who are like, I have to say, whenever I that term, it just always makes me think of, going back to children, unfortunately. It makes me think of, like, children's toys, you know, little peg... It makes me just think of, like, little wooden...
Like the little people you put in the car in life.
Yes. Thank you. Exactly. A game for children of all ages. But anyway, children have nothing to do with pegging. You can't even make a baby with pegging.
Not yet, but we'll keep trying.
That's great. Let me know how that goes.
So, but for our friends listening at home who don't know what pegging is, can you enlighten them?
Sure. So the general definition is when a woman, kind of air quotes around woman,
sure,
puts on a strap-on and fucks a man, air quotes around man, up the butt.
Up the butt. Up the junction.
Up the junction. The Grand Junction.
Yeah, Grand so Central Station.
So yeah, that's the generally accepted term. Obviously, there's a plenty of gender fuck stuff that you can do within that, but
right.
Ultimately, that's kind of the standard. Like, it's a hetero pair with, you know, reversal of roles is kind of the way that a lot of people see it.
Right, so that's so interesting. I feel like the term pegging, as opposed to just saying, I'm having anal sex right now, like, or even being more specific and saying strap-on sex, pegging is, I think, a term that comes from a sort of heteronormative idea of, like, it's its own thing because it's so odd that a woman would be the person with the phallus penetrating the man's body.
The man's body.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, it is...
Hole. Manhole.
The manhole.
The man... Penetrating the manhole.
Yeah, it is definitely the reversal. And it's what's interesting to me about pegging, when you, if you Google it or whatever, is that you see that there are kind of two different ways that people interpret pegging.
Yeah.
One is, like, there's this super queer, like, just queer kind of gender fuck way.
Yeah.
And then there's this other way, which is very much like femdom, male sub.
Totally.
Which I think, you know, really, really ties to heteronormative ideas of what sex looks like.
Of course.
Like, man must be strong on top of lady, putting penis inside of lady. And it's just, you know.
Allison, you're getting me so worked up.
I know. So.
When you put it like that.
Yeah. So it's really funny because, like, when people, and I actually had an article about pegging on a website for a while, and I would do the search, you know, thing. I'd see most people were coming looking for info about femdomming.
Right.
Which is great, like, if you're into that. But it was just definitely, like, for me, it's very much about egalitarianism. Like,
right.
When I put on my strap on, I'm not about to dominate my partner. I'm not about to humiliate my partner.
Right.
For me, it's like, this is another thing that we get to do together, to share our bodies together.
Absolutely. There, I mean, this is one of those examples that comes up on the show all the time, where when you have a taboo or a notion that is actually quite oppressive, like the heteronormative idea that the only way for a man to be penetrated would be to be forced or humiliated. And also for the only way that a woman would ever want to wear a strap-on or penetrate a man would have to be in this, like, punishment, sadistic domination kind of a way. So the kind of thing that we talk about on the show all the time is, like, yes, yeah, so it's very important to identify that. And then once you sort of have understood that, then feel free to go nuts with that taboo and how charged it is. So if you want to do a scene that takes advantage of the fact that you've been socialized to think such and such things about penetration, gender, heterosexual sex, and what it looks like, then yeah, go to town. Like, I don't, like you were saying, like, I don't have anything against a Google search that for pegging that comes up with lots and lots of femdom, male sub porn scenes, or for that to be the thing that, if people want to do it, that they want to make that kind of pageantry in order to get there, or have that kind of dynamic in order to get there. Nothing wrong with that. But it's not necessary or integral or essential. It's not the only way.
Right, and that's something I like to, you know, talk about to people about, because there is this assumption, like, if a man's curious about, like, anal pleasure, all of a sudden he has to wear ruffly panties? What? And it's like, well, no, actually.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of ways to experience anal pleasure and pleasure in all ways without having to add this layer of power dynamic on top.
Right.
But, yes, if you deconstruct and realize that the power dynamic is what gets you hot, then go for it.
Yeah,
But I don't.
And if the fluffy panties are what get you hot, then by all means.
By all means, send me a Snapchat.
Yeah, send me a Snapchat. Do you have Snapchat?
No.
Okay.
But we've talked about it so much. I'm like, okay.
I'm just really into it. Susie Q actually is the one who got me into it.
I feel like it's what the kids are using these days. You know? I don't have Tinder. I don't have Snapchat. I feel like I'm aging out of
something. Well, Tinder, you have to be. Well, you don't have to be on the prowl, but you have to at least be like curious to sort of like look through, you know, collect them all. Mm-hmm. And
like pogs.
Yeah, exactly. Is slammer. Once you've got a slammer. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, did you not collect pogs?
I did not collect pogs.
Magic the Gathering. Anyway, I had friends. I went to the prom. No, you had to get a slammer. And then the slammer was the thing that you slammed down to flip the pogs over. Okay. My boyfriend was really good at it, and he would take all. He took my Jurassic Park pogs.
Jurassic Park pogs.
They were great. They were so great.
Oh my God, I feel so old. Like, what is the average age demographic of the what? Why are people into that podcast listener?
I don't know the answer to that. I would love for people to write me and tweet at me and tell me how old you are.
Just like, is the pog reference going over your head, or is the Snapchat reference going over your head?
This you know, we're trying barometer. To be as inclusive as possible.
Yeah.
Speaking of Twitter, is anybody responding to your tweet?
Yeah, people are retweeting it, but nobody's responded yet.
Well, that's good. Retweeting is good.
That is good.
A retweet is better than
nothing at all.
That's right. Okay. Pogs, Snapchat. Right. So, we were talking about. Oh, okay. So let me ask you this. As a lesbian identified dyke type lady, perhaps before you came to heterosexual partnership, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Having sex with a cis man.
Yeah.
Did you have experience wielding a strap-on?
Well, yes. So I had experience wielding a strap-on with vagina owners. But it's a very different experience, and I actually was excited about how different it was when I first penetrated a man up the butt. But yeah, I mean, wearing a strap-on and packing to a certain degree, so wearing a strap-on under clothes and with the intention of, you know, turning on a partner or maybe. So those are all things I'd done. Some of the interesting things that I noticed in the difference between, you know, penetrating a vagina versus penetrating an ass with a strap-on.
Yeah.
It was actually a lot of, like, the mechanics of it were so different, which
yeah.
I thought was very exciting. But, you know, with when you penetrate somebody with a strap-on in general, you don't have any biofeedback, or you don't have a lot of biofeedback specifically on the cock itself.
Right, right.
Which means you're kind of, like, flying with, you know, with instruments. You know, you can't actually figure out what's going on by sensation. So things like, you know, penetrating too deep can be an issue with people with cervixes, you know, because
right,
you can
right,
hit
right.
the end of the cul-de-sac and it can hurt. So, you know, you have to adjust for shallowness or depth. And a lot of just that kind of stuff I find really fascinating.
Yeah.
Girth is usually a really good thing with vaginas.
Right.
And girth is actually often more important than depth for most people, or mm-hmm. a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was, you know, that's kind of the stuff you learn as being a strap-on wielder with women, quote-unquote. And so when I switched to being a person who uses a strap-on with, well, not switched, but when I added to my repertoire pegging, I was really excited to see certain things become more or less important. So for one, like, the difference between, and if this gets too technical, I apologize.
Oh my God, please get technical.
Okay.
Is there a cervix in the manhole?
There is no cervix in the manhole. It is a long road of open highway, which is one of the reasons why I'm sure when you talk about anal sex, it's like flared base for toys or anything you put inside your butt.
That is correct. You know I'm all about the flared base because the other end of your ass is your mouth.
There is a song cover there all about that flared base. It's not, it doesn't scan correctly, but
that's a lot of syllables.
It just made me think of that all about
that song is about butts, right?
Well, it's about booty. I mean, so butts, booty, same thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Although I think of it slightly
different.
same
genre.
Concept.
Yeah.
Same general concept. Yeah, that would be interesting. Anyway, so back to
but
base.
So there's no I love it when you touch my thigh to make a point.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, don't be sorry. Sorry, not sorry. What when you so there's it's a long open road.
Right.
And so, but when you're wearing the strap-on, you, my friend, become the flared base.
That's true. But I cannot get sucked up farther than I want to go, luckily.
That is a great, I'd like to see that animation.
I know, it feels like
Ralph Bocci, I don't know. Anyway, keep talking. Keep talking.
So yeah, so, you know, vagina's cul-de-sacs, anus, colon, long stretch of open highway. So, I mean, some switchbacks, but ultimately.
Switchbacks.
So ultimately. I mean, when you put anything in a butt can take it and keep it, as opposed to vaginas. Anyway, so with putting things up butts, the sphincters is really what oftentimes feels really good for people receiving stuff in their butt. So you've got...
And the sphincter is the muscle around the anus.
Correct.
Correct, yeah.
And so ultimately, you'll kind of... There are two sphincters right at this kind of surface, right? The one that you control and then the one that you can't control.
Oh, yes, that's right. There's two of them.
And then there's a third one at the top of the colon, which...
There's a third?
Yeah. Which is the one that kind of loads the chamber.
I need to brush up on my anatomy.
Yeah.
Wait, loads the... Can you make that gesture again just for me? Loading the chamber? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, so there's three sphincters.
Mm-hmm. Right there. Yeah. So
great.
Three that you could theoretically touch as a penetrator.
Yeah.
And so it's usually... So the length of the dildo when you're pegging is often... less important, or actually you can go longer with anus penetration than
right.
you can with vaginal penetration, because the colon is generally longer than most people's vaginas, and also like at the top you're gonna hit that sphincter,
right.
but that sphincter also is flexible, so generally right. speaking, as long as your partner or you enjoy that sensation, you're not going to cause a lot of problems by going deep,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
that can actually be really yummy for a lot of people.
Yeah. So what about girth?
So girth is actually the one that I've noticed is actually more challenging for people, because, you know, with anuses, like, we're so used to as human beings, like, clenching and holding because we don't want to poop at inappropriately poopable time. So when we talk about, like, anal retentiveness, it's like this kind of notion that we hold on to things. So what I've noticed is girth can be a lot more challenging for people, because vaginas designed to stretch to extraordinary widths.
Extraordinary.
So, you know, vaginas with the right amount of lube and relaxation can go pretty awesomely wide. Anuses.
I have met some extraordinary anuses.
Oh, golly,
by the
yes.
way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can train your anus to relax to that degree. I've seen some fascinating things.
As have I.
And as can you, tender listener, if you Google properly. I wouldn't recommend it, but it's possible.
Well, depends on... Anyway,
it depends on what you're into. Yeah, exactly, consent. Make sure that you yourself are consenting to the search that you yourself are about to do. Basically. Anyway, so yeah, so it definitely can happen, but for most people when they're first exploring any sort of anal penetration, what feels the most intense is not the length, it's more the girth, because any sort of stretching beyond what they're used to can feel like a lot. I find that the sensitivity of girth can be much more stimulating and intense than, you know, other orifices.
Have you found... now, you were talking about vagina havers, but many vagina havers also have assholes.
Almost all of them, I would be willing to say.
So I'm curious if you had done a lot of strap-on anal play, or if you had before, or if you mm-hmm. have, and how you find the anatomy might be different for a cis man versus a cis woman.
That's interesting. I think that I have penetrated with a strap on women. I don't know if I beat people up the butt. Or cis women. And so the difference is actually far more, in my experience, intellectual, emotional.
Interesting.
Because I think so many women are so used to getting penetrated as part of their normal sex life.
That's right.
There's less anxiety and fear associated with the penetration itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that from a sensation point. Like, there's a certain amount of, like, this is a normal feeling. Like,
right.
It is normal to feel like there's a lot of stuff happening inside of my body.
Right.
Whereas a lot of guys, if they've not had a lot of penetration play, they don't know what that is supposed to feel like. So there's
right.
a lot more working up to it. But again, like, that's purely anecdotal. I can't speak for, like, anatomies specifically or,
yeah.
you know, whether the perineum between men and women makes a huge amount of difference.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the... Well, let's talk about strap-ons. What do you love about using a strap-on specifically for anal sex? As opposed to using your hand or a toy?
Well, as opposed to using my hand, I find it that, my partner specifically, who I spend most of my time pegging, well, that's a weird syntax. I don't spend most of my time pegging him, but most of the time
most
I'm
of your
somebody,
pegging
it's him.
Is him. Right,
correct.
Got it.
Thank
yeah.
you. That was interesting. I'm pegging right now. Anyway.
I feel like you do spend a lot of time pegging.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes, you know, like, with any sex thing that you really like, it will just kind of fall out of favor. Not out of favor, but, like, all of a sudden you're like, we haven't done
routine.
That in a while.
Yeah.
haven't we done that in a while? So pegging is one of those things where it's on the menu all the time, and then, like, seasonally it kind of, like, drops off the menu.
Yeah, I know
when,
what
like,
you mean.
You know, when other things come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. But then that's what's great about a long-term relationship is that then something comes back around and you're like, still like this. Still like doing it with you.
Pegging is back in season. Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. I like that when that happens. Yeah, so, strap-on. What do I like about it? Is that the question?
Yeah.
It's interesting, because I feel like there's a lot to like about wearing a strap-on.
Totally.
Like, there's so much to like about wearing a strap-on.
So true.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's funny for me, because, like, I don't... There's a certain gender element to it, for sure, but for me, it's not like...
No, I am a man.
Right. And I have plenty of my own gender stuff in general, like, as a queer woman. But it's so funny because I'm like, I don't, like, there are people who connect so deeply with their dicks when they put them on, you
know? Totally.
And
which is hot and awesome.
Hot and awesome. And I totally, totally get it. For me, it's really more about, like, I'm putting this thing on to give somebody pleasure.
Yeah. I'm actually the same way when you put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So yeah, that's kind of, it's, and it's funny, like, and again, like, I love hand sex. I love using toys with my hands, but yeah, I think something about, like, putting on something that will be part of me,
yeah,
even though it's not mine, you
yeah.
know, like,
yeah,
putting on something that will be part of me so that I can have my hands free and that I can hold and
mm-hmm.
kiss and all these fun things, like, that's really kind of where I get excited about using a strap-on. I think also, like, just in terms of, like, the aesthetic of sex, of, like, grinding hips together, like,
oh, yeah.
like, that to me is just so hot. So, like, if I can have something that's attached to my pelvis that I can use with my, you know, the core of my body
yes.
to generate sensation and thrust, that to me is really sexy.
You are describing... That's it for me. That's what I love about it. I love, like, when I put on a strap-on, I get excited because... I sort of feel like, it's not always this way, but I sort of feel like, okay, now I'm driving this car. I was trying to think of a sexier word than car. Hot rod.
Hot rod.
I'm driving this hot rod down that open highway. Straight to Pleasure Town.
Population
Sydney.
You.
Oh my god. Somebody should pay me to write a dirty talk book. Anyway, that hip thing, and that, as nerdy as it sounds, the core, using my core to just, like, grind into somebody and, like, using my body to thrust into somebody is just, I could do it all day.
Oh yeah.
And all night.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, who is a, larger gentleman, a fat and proud gentleman, whose partner is also a large and proud gentleman. And we were talking about different dicks that we like,
mm-hmm.
and, And I was like, what's your favorite dick? And he was like, oh, well, I don't really use them that often. And I was like, what are you talking about? That's like, that's what sex, I mean, there's lots of things that I like to do, but that's like, that's my fave. It's my favorite. And I just can't imagine really like a sex life without it, mm-hmm. in high heavy rotation, so to speak. And yeah, he was just pointing out that different sized bodies, strap-ons are maybe more or less comfortable, mm-hmm. or convenient or just preferable. So I guess I just wanted to say that if it's not something that works for your body or your mobility, mm-hmm. then, but I think that there are actually, I think maybe, I sort of suspect that people get the idea in their head that there's a certain way to wear a strap-on and mm-hmm. certain positions or certain kind of sex that strap-on sex is, regardless of what hole you're penetrating or mm-hmm. what genders are involved. But actually, first of all, there are lots of people who make all different size harnesses.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely all different size dicks. And, oh, yeah. You know, you don't have to be on top to be the strap on top. You can totally be like laying on your back.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite positions.
Riding you. Yeah. Tell me about some positions that you like and what some pros and cons of some different pegging positions.
Okay. All right. Well, so the standard one that I use with my partner, because my partner's a lot bigger than me too, which is really fun. And that's an exciting thing, I think, in any sort of relationship where there's like kind of a disparity of size. Yeah. I'm not a particularly small person, but it's really fun to be able to like really throw my weight on somebody and not have to worry about hurting them. And as for me, like being a lesbian for so long, like as a bigger woman, you know, like strong, big, tall, like I was always in that like back of my head, like, I don't want to hurt my frail little lady. And I'm like, oh God. And so it's nice to be like, I'm with a partner who I'm like, no, I'm going to literally lay on you and give you all of my weight and while I fuck you, which is really fun. Anyway,
totally.
So yeah, I mean, the classic position, kind of like him on his hands and knees and me behind him, is still my favorite.
What do you like about it?
Well, it works particularly well for our bodies because our thighs, like when I kneel behind him, I'm at generally the right height for penetrating him at an angle that he likes.
Yeah.
Which is just, again, like, it's just kind of an interesting nuance of our specific bodies.
Oh, it's like you were made for each other.
Oh my gosh, it's so sweet. So, but at the same time, like leaning forward and giving him my body weight and then like being bear hugging him from behind is really nice because I can hold onto his shoulders and I can use his own body to like kind of be the stability thing that I use to like thrust into, which is great. And he likes that kind of feeling of like being kind of like manhandled. So for me, like to kind of wrap, I mean, like it's back to Star Wars.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
A little bit like I'm Yoda, and he's Mark Hamill.
Oh my God, I had a big poster of that when I was a kid.
Well, now you're never going to be able to see it the same way.
Luke Skywalker's arm muscles in those scenes are like, you have been lifting Yoda on this planet for a while during your...
That's good. I was just talking about hot arm muscles and how, like, finally something switched in my brain where I'm like, men's or big, strong arm muscles? I like them.
Yeah.
I liked how
lean he was. You know, mm-hmm. it's like he was, you know, he was studying to be a Jedi, so he had to be like, had a like strong body, but also be like sagely wisdom. Mm-hmm. So much Star Wars talking. Anyway. So you're like Yoda.
On Luke Skywalker's back.
I'm really glad you went there.
Yeah.
Or you're like the big spoon.
Yeah, big spoon. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, like being able to kind of like wrap my arms around his neck like it's a piggyback ride, right? So it's like that, and then thrust. I mean, for people who like having their hair pulled or, you know, being choked or anything like that, like that's a really great position because you've got access to all of that spanked. It's great. Yeah, so that, I like that position for that reason. And again, like it's a very comfortable position for a lot of people who, you know, who are okay with their knees.
Right.
Being on your hands and knees can be really nice and comfy to get penetrated. I love receiving and, you know, quote unquote doggy style or on my hands and knees too.
Yeah.
So I like that one a lot. With, you know, partners facing each other is quite nice too. So it's like they put their legs in the air and missionary style. That's nice too. Different in terms of depth.
Sure.
Which is, you know, great. And it also usually it kind of creates a different kind of angle. So for people who like prostate sensation, that can be really good because
missionary
position. Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of, I mean, especially if your dick kind of curves up or at least points up in a certain way,
yeah,
or if you have like a strong prominent head to your dick, that can create nice prostate play, just like almost like you can think of it as like a G-spot, you know, like
sure.
What you would do for a G-spot is what you can do for a prostate.
Yeah.
And then I do really like, and this is not something my partner's favorite, so we don't do it very often, but I do like being on my back and having partners ride me. I just think it's really sexy to look at somebody at that angle.
Yeah.
And to kind of like watch somebody just kind of take charge and fuck me, you know, fuck my cock. Yeah, I like that a lot. So that's really fun. And that's something I do with people of all genders and depending, regardless of whole, you know, it's just, I like being on the back, watching them bounce on top of me and have a grand old time.
Oh, God, this conversation.
I know. Yeah, my.
What are some different, kinds of, harnesses that you like?
So I've always used, and I've used the same harness for many years. I like just standard leather jock harness.
Yeah.
And I like those because, and I often recommend them to people who have bigger booties because a lot of those straps are very long when you buy it. And so they're really able to kind of traverse many mountainous areas of flesh, which I think is great for big booties. Sometimes people like thongs for that reason too, because it's the same leather, but there's a lot of it, so it kind of goes down your crack instead of under your ass cheeks, which is less comfortable for some people. But I've always liked it because I like to be able to kind of hoist it. I've got the D-ring kind, so like I put it on and then I can tighten it down, and then as we fuck and it gets loose, I can keep just tightening it as we go.
Right.
That's something that I've always really enjoyed, and especially with leather in general, it just stretches over time.
Yeah, plus leather.
Yeah, I like leather.
I like leather too.
Yeah.
And I like, I agree, or I'm the same as you in the sense that I don't necessarily feel a sense of masculinity per se when I put on a strap on, but I do love having my same leather harness also that I've had for a really long time, the Jaguar from Aslan Leather. Thanks, Carrie Gray. That feels like a part of me, and that doesn't necessarily mean like a masculine part of me per se. It's the strap-on part of me.
Yeah, I feel that way about boots.
Yeah.
So it's like for me, like when I put like I've always had a pair of beloved black leather boots.
Yeah.
And if I'm without them, I feel weird.
Yeah.
Like they're me. They're utilitarian. They make me feel strong in the way that your favorite outfit makes you feel strong.
Totally.
So yeah, like it doesn't make me feel gendered in any specific way. It just makes me feel like, you know, Allison version 2.0. Like this is how I am when I'm wearing my favorite boots or my favorite harness.
Yeah.
I just feel like hot, strong, ready to take on the world.
Yeah.
Or the butt, as it were.
The highway. Yeah, but there are other kinds of harnesses. You know, if people are vegan, first of all, there are vegan leather style harnesses on the market. But then there are ones that are made of synthetic material that you can just put in the laundry, which is nice, especially if you're super slutty and you...
Well, it's also good for, like, you know, the Santorum factor, which happens sometimes.
Can you tell us what Santorum is?
The frothy mixture of fecal matter and lube that is sometimes a product of anal sex.
Yes.
A byproduct of anal sex. That coined, of course, by Dan Savage and should be, you know, spread all over the world.
Yes, spread Santorum.
Spread Santorum. Yeah, so...
spread it on the walls.
On the walls, on the floors. But yeah, so it sometimes happens. It's, I mean, you know, like, just kind of luby, sometimes a little bit of poo, but not very much kind of thing. So for people who, you know, are squicked out by that, or just for cleaning in general, it's really great to have, like, the underwear-style harness, like the spare parts kind of, like, where you just throw them in the wash. Right after. That's pretty nice. And also, like, for me, sometimes, like, if I'm afraid it's going to be messy, if we're using a lot of lube, mm-hmm. and if I'm on the bottom and I'm not quite sure how I feel about, like, the possibility of lube dripping on my vulva, like, wearing the spare parts or the Rodeo, for instance, those are both brands of underwear-style harnesses, I feel, like, you know, covered and protected, and so then I don't have to worry about, like, if we want to keep fucking, if it would be, you know, unhygienic or not.
Right. Yeah, so sometimes it's about safer sex in terms of being able to thoroughly clean, using a synthetic harness that you can thoroughly clean, because you can't thoroughly clean leather in terms of safer sex, because leather is porous, right? True. So it can be about multiple partners, and wanting to use a clean harness with different partners. But it can also be about the same partner and just the totally not shameful, just ordinary byproduct of messiness. And that you can love the messiness, but not, for example, want there to be Santorum on your vulva.
True.
Yeah, for lots of reasons.
Yeah.
So those harnesses are good for that. Mm-hmm. Let's segue a little bit, because you brought up Santorum, to talk about some stuff about anal play, which is encompassed by pegging.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about how it's really important to always use a flared base.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a little bit about anatomy, but let's talk about mess. I feel like it can never be talked about enough that it's, you sort of, when it comes to anal sex, you simultaneously have to accept that fecal matter could be a part of it,
mm-hmm.
but also be aware that shit is not actually stored in the rectum.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually entirely possible to have a full, deep anal play session without encountering any toilety type stuff.
You betcha.
Whatever. But what are some ways to just be more aware of that and perhaps avoid that? Like, for example, what is your opinion of enemas?
Well, you know, I've actually never used one, but I do have partners who've used them. Who use them every time. They clean out every time before they receive anal sex. Which, you know, if that makes you feel better, like, then more power to you.
They're fun.
Yeah.
Just as an activity, I like them.
Cool. Yeah. That's exciting.
They're actually, I find them, like, quite relaxing and stimulating.
I can imagine. I mean, do you not have the cramping thing?
I mean, sometimes, but usually it takes a lot to do that. And, you know, the water, I mean, the nozzle of the, if it's a fleet enema or whatever, it's like a crazy shower enema.
Mm-hmm.
And also the water do stimulate the same nerves, that a hand or a toy or a cock, would stimulate. So, but in a different way. So it's kind of, and deeper, like instantly deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So, but without as much, I mean, because it's water.
Yeah, no resistance. You're not.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So I find it like a total rush, actually.
That sounds great. I've always wanted to try one, but I've never
found it. Oh, well, what are you doing later?
That's funny. I definitely know people who clean out. And again, like, for a lot of people, like, almost every time I talk about anal sex, one of the first questions is like, but what about poo?
Yeah.
Which I totally get, but again, like, the vision that some people have when they ask that question is like, oh no, it's gonna be like poop all over, it's gonna be like a pig pen. It's not at all. Yeah, so I find that, like, even the messiest I've had, when it's not intentionally messy, because you can definitely do, like, the intentionally messy if you're into that kind of play, but
totally.
That's a whole other show. So if you're worried, like, even the messiest I've ever had has been, like, not that big of a deal.
Right.
So I think that, you know, there are certain things you can do. One thing is most of the time when we're planning on pegging, I have a whole little, like, little kit, little routine thing specifically for that.
Oh, yeah. What's in the kit?
So we've got our blanket, our Liberator blanket.
Nice.
Which I really like just to have, you know, so I don't have to worry about my sheets getting lubey. A Liberator blanket, a set of handy wipes. Obviously lube. I usually like to have two different kinds, silicone and water-based, which can create that like nice dual cushiony kind of feeling.
Yeah, because silicone lube is great for anal play because the ass does not self-lubricate and silicone lube isn't absorbed into the body as quickly as water-based lube.
Correct.
But with pegging, you're... cock is usually going to be made of silicone because most great strap-on compatible, safe, and healthy, dildos, by which we mean not made of gross off-gassing material. Dildos are going to be made of silicone, which is non-porous, which makes them easy to completely disinfect. And use with multiple partners. But anyway. Or just feel that it has been cleaned after anal play so that you then can use it in a vagina after you've cleaned it.
Right.
What was I saying?
So that's one of the reasons why water-based lube is good.
Right. But you don't want to use silicone lube with a silicone toy because they just are like, I don't like... my own kind. So then the silicone lube. That's how I always imagine the little silicone molecules being like, there's only room in this town for one of us. And then the silicone lube can, like, degrade the quality of the silicone toy. But you can always put a condom on it.
True. Which is why we always use condoms. And I, like, just using condoms on toys in general is just a good practice. Because, again, like, you don't have to worry about the kind of lube you use much. And, if you want to keep using that toy with a different body or a different orifice, you can just take off the condom and keep using the toy without having to run to the dishwasher, you know?
Right.
And this is what I really like about condoms in general. They're just so neat and tidy and help keep everything handled. So generally speaking, what you'll find is when you penetrate... Oh, well, let me finish my kit.
Yes, please.
So, condoms. And then I like to actually keep a little spritz bottle of something that smells good. So rose water or like minty fresh, like air freshener stuff. I mean, not like Lysol, but like, you know, like a little squirt bottle of like... you know,
that's actually really nice.
It's lovely, actually, because for me, it's like, again, like, I don't care if it smells a little bit pooey, but like, I also want my partner to feel comfortable.
Totally.
And I don't want them to feel ashamed of their body or anything, which can happen when you're like, oh, I made it stinky. You know, it's not bad. It's not a horrible thing, but people can have their own stuff that comes up around shame and stuff. So I'm like, if anything I can do to make my partner feel more comfortable and, you know, sexy, even afterwards, like, I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So having that little spritz bottle of rose water is really nice, actually.
That's a great tip. I have to say, I don't know if I've ever thought about that before, but that's super nice.
Yeah. So, again, concerns about poo. So when one penetrates a butt with the dick, generally speaking, when poo is a factor at all, what... usually ends up happening is that it's a little tiny bit at the very tip of the dick. And that usually depends on how deep you go and how long the dick is. Because again, like you said, there's no poop in the colon until you're actually ready to poop.
Right.
Like, so what that third sphincter, that's what the third sphincter does. The third sphincter.
Thank goodness for that guy.
I know, right? We like, it's a hard working little sphincter. So basically what happens is that third sphincter up at the top of the colon is what opens to let the poop into the colon, which is when your body's like, oh, I need to poop. And if you don't poop when you feel like you need to, what will happen is that will actually go back up inside. It will go back up.
Retreat
into out of the colon and back up into your intestines until you are actually ready to poop. So when you don't feel like you have to poop, it's because you don't have anything in your colon. And again, if you have anything, it's like a little fleck here and there. It's not like an actual, like, load.
Right. But then when you have a dick in there, if you're not used to it, or even if you are... your body is like, oh, this means it's time for a movement.
Right.
And sometimes it takes some psychological getting used to where you're like, no, it's not time for a movement. It's time for
fucking.
Yes, exactly. It's time to just relax and feel great. Because this lady with a strap on is given it to me.
Totally. Yeah, so that, absolutely, that psychological, like, I'm pooping, oh my god, is actually not happening. It's kind of like ejaculation with feeling like you're peeing, for those of us who do that.
Right,
you're
exactly.
Like, I'm peeing. I was like, no, I'm not peeing. I'm ejaculating. Different.
Right, it is, I agree, it's totally analogous, where mm-hmm. you need to, if you want to go there, you need to learn to just accept that feeling as part of what's happening, and then sort of opens it up to other potential feelings.
Exactly. So yeah, and that's again like a kind of breaking down the heteronormative paradigm and finding all sorts of other sensations.
Let's
on the other
break
side.
Break it down.
Anyway, so back to poop. So finally, what ends up happening is if you have a long dick that's long enough to traverse the colon and get to the top of that sphincter, oftentimes what will happen is that penetration will kind of poke through that top sphincter a little bit, and that's sometimes where the poo can come from.
Right.
So it's a little tiny little dab of it at the tip of a dick is usually where it happens, if it happens at all, when when you're just having the normal, you know, ass penetration.
Yeah.
So, again, so what ends up happening for around why condoms are so good is that you can pull out when you're done, and you can take the condom off by kind of stretching at the base and turning it inside out over the tip,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then, you know, tying it off like you would with a condom with a load of anything in it, and then throwing it away.
Yeah.
And it becomes a really easy way to clean up, and then, like, there's not a whole lot of shame associated with, like, oh, there's a little bit of poo. It's, like,
it's,
so...
It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Ta-da. Goodbye.
Yeah.
So it's really... I find it really nice to use condoms for that reason, because it's easier for cleanup. And then handy wipes are great for just if you feel like you've got a little bit of extra in your crack, you can just wipe it off, especially with the lube. When the lube comes out, it feels like a lot is happening down there.
Yeah.
So just being able to clean up with a handy wipe feels really nice, too.
Yeah, I also find that taking a shower right before anal play is just really nice because, first of all, it's relaxing, mm-hmm. right? Take a nice hot shower, your body's relaxed and ready to be done things mm-hmm. to grammar and then even if you're not doing an anal douche or an enema but you're just scrubbing down there, I think that a lot of the time it's less about actually getting rid of any trace of foulness, but just feeling, having like more psychological peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
That you are clean and ready to present yourself, and maybe you're like peppermint soap scrubbing it,
oh,
so
yeah.
you are like nice tingly. And fresh and tingly, exactly.
Totally.
And I have to say, I'm somebody who loves body smells. I'm not saying that I love the smell of shit, but, like, the smell of asses is delightful. And I actually find that when you take a shower, then, like, the smell of pheromones and the smell of arousal and the smell of cum, it is actually more pronounced.
Mm.
So I used to be like, fuck showers, I like smells, but actually... I find that, like, the contrast makes it more
distinct. Yeah, you're starting
distinct.
With, like, a neutral place.
Exactly.
And so, like,
cleansing the palate.
Exactly.
Is basically what I'm talking
True.
About here.
The palate is the butthole. There we go.
Uh-huh. It's like having a little ginger in between rolls.
little sorbet.
Little sorbet. Some mango sorbet. Spitting in a bucket. I don't know. Thinking about wine tasting. Anyway, so... butts. Butts, butts, butts. Hooray for butts. What else? Okay, so here's another thing that I wanted to ask you. Another book that you've written that is coming out in March
True.
Of 2015 is called Girl Sex 101.
Mm-hmm.
And just give me a little... elevator pitch on Girl Sex 101.
Girl Sex 101 is a road trip in a book. That was the beginning of my Kickstarter. So Girl Sex 101 is a introduction to lesbo sex. using a lot of very 101 terminology. It's heavily illustrated by Katie Diamond, an awesome, sexy illustrator. So it's kind of a quasi-comic book. I call it an illuminated sex ed book because it's not quite a comic book, but definitely like every page is magic. And it basically takes you on this trip through all the various aspects of intro to lady sex, including anatomy, orgasm, squirting, hand sex, strap-ons, toys, anal, relationships, communication, consent, all sorts of things that you need to know to feel like you are prepared to get down with the sexy time. And there's also a fiction component to it, which is kind of quasi-erotica, where each chapter starts with a story between these two characters where they do some hot things to each other, and then the rest of the chapter is the nonfiction that explains how they did it and what they did.
Amazing.
Thanks.
This is the first time I've heard about it. And I'm got my credit card out. Wait, that's a lie. I wrote the thing for it.
You did.
So there's also, you didn't even mention, there's so fucking much going on in this
world.
There's
a lot going on.
So many detours and rest stops and
scenic viewpoints.
Adventures, yes. So you also have a bunch of sex educator superstars, if I may.
I believe that's
super
fair.
Superstars. Yeah. Doing little, like, interludes.
Right. So, well, yeah, I call them scenic viewpoints, and they're basically like little turnoffs on the main structure of the book where a different voice that's not my voice can explain something more in depth about an aspect of girl sex that's important to them.
Which is so great. It promotes diversity. And yes, and so what was the chapter? What was my scenic viewpoint?
You're in the strap-on chapter about how awesome it is to get and receive strap-on blowjobs, am I correct?
Oh, yes. Well, I just wanted to hear you say it. I do remember that I wrote that thing. Yeah, I did. I wrote about, it was so nice, too, because you were like, what is the thing about lesbian sex that you want to talk about so much? And I was like, you know, I just really want to talk about strap-on blowjobs. Mm-hmm. I just think they're the best. I love giving them. I love receiving them. You know, there's so much, like, gendered fucking going on there. And, so, yeah, everybody check out Girl Sex 101, not the least of which reason to do so would be my 500-word
But it is really good. Like, you're obviously such a writer, because, like, some people I had to coach through the process, and you're just like, bam, here's this awesome, concise, sexy thing. Ba-bam!
Oh, well, thank you. Well, it was nice also to be like, you know, I'm gonna write a piece that's really horny. Because, you know, sometimes when you don't have as much creative control, you feel like you kind of have to be like, all right, everybody, we all have our clothes on, and we're all gonna talk about things in a general way. But I was like, oh, Alison Moon is going to let me write something really.
Well, that's what I actually really liked about, I mean, your piece. And I also wanted this book to feel a little bit sexier, because I think a lot of sex ed books, they're afraid of scaring people away with the talk about the sex.
Right.
So I wanted to be like, no, I actually want people to, and I think the problem is translating stuff, something that you read in a very sterile environment, to something that you can actually do when you're hot and excited about with somebody in bed.
Right.
I feel like it's a weird dissonance. And I'm like, I actually wanted to write a book, which is one of the reasons why I include the erotica, that actually turns people on and gets people excited and gives people good ideas of stuff that they actually want to do, as opposed to like, and oh, this is how this works. Okay, turn the page.
Yeah,
like,
radio instructions.
Right. Yeah. Like, I want, like, some hot stuff. And so your piece was so great because it was so from a place of, like, horniness. It was from a place of, like, this is turning me on. And as I read, I'm like, I wasn't really into that, but now I am. Like, this is turning me on.
Yes!
Which is, I think, a really great sign of, you know, how to communicate hot things.
Well, so it's not necessarily your thing, but do you have opinions about, even going back to the gender component of pegging, like when you are wearing a strap on, you can put it in somebody's hole, mm-hmm. and there are so many different kinds of holes. Well, so what about the mouth hole?
Well, actually, that's something that my partner and I really like to do, is that almost every time we peg, it starts off with him sucking me off before I put my dick in his butt.
Oh, so you do love it.
Oh, I do. I don't love giving them, but I love receiving them. So I guess.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so what do you love about receiving?
Oh, golly. I love how, well, again, it's kind of like I love how much pleasure my partner has when they're giving me a blowjob. And so this can, for me, it's really about, like, whether my partner's into it or not.
Yeah.
So if somebody's giving me a blowjob because they feel like they have to, like, it's not going to do anything for me.
Sure.
But if somebody's giving, well, unless, you know, they have to as part of a role play, and then it's a whole other thing.
Totally.
Anyway. Different episode.
But many people feel, with blowjobs in particular, there's this myth that the person giving the blowjob isn't enjoying it, and they're just doing it for their partner, which is ridiculous, mm-hmm. because having things in your mouth is really nice, and giving someone pleasure can bring you pleasure. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Which is why you could enjoy giving head to something that doesn't actually have nerve endings in
Absolutely. It. Yeah, it's a lot of, and again, like, I think part of the reason why I like pegging, kind of going back to the very beginning, is an appreciation it gives me for the quote-unquote other gender's, you know, usual perspective.
Right.
And I, like, mean, like, literally the perspective at which they see things from. I find that, I mean...
You mean, like, somebody bent over and bouncing on your cock?
Right.
Until
so, like,
they come?
You know, I think for, like, when you think of, like, again, like, how women's bodies are treated in this world and how many weird anxieties we have about how good-looking we are, pretty we are, whatever right. word you want to use, it's really challenging to believe somebody when they say you're beautiful while they're looking up at your body from your crotch, right?
Right.
If you feel fat or if you feel ugly, if you think your tits are the wrong size or shape, like, all that stuff that we have. So when I've been on the other side of it,
again, right.
it's been really beautiful for me to see, like, oh my god, like, watching my partner's tits, like, flop around while they're riding my cock is beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Now I have less anxiety about my own body, right?
Right, right, right.
And the same thing with, like, watching my partner on their knees, like, choking on my cock, and their eyes watering. They don't look ugly. They look beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And so it makes me feel like, oh, like, when my mascara is running, or when I'm, you know, choking and spitting on something which I feel is kind of quote-unquote gross,
right,
is actually fucking hot,
uh-huh.
because I've seen it from that angle too.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that for me just gives me such an appreciation for so much, which allows me to kind of accept my own body and my own, you know, fluids and all that more.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I like it. And it also gives me appreciation for how physically challenging thrusting for a long period of time can
be. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you gotta think. You start thinking about the gym in a different way. You're totally. Like, I gotta work on my crunches.
Those core muscles become very important.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and like wrists and stuff holding your body up. I mean, I think strap-on sex in general is a great way for people who don't have a penis factory installed to really learn how much physical exertion it takes to really fuck somebody well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And also how good that feels. How good it feels to. Have a scene or a session where afterwards you feel like you've really worked it.
Yeah, run a marathon. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's beautiful.
You know, and so let's go back to the strap-on blowjob. I mean, so you don't have nerve endings in the silicone dick that are connected to your spine.
Mm-hmm.
Yet. We're working on it.
You and I specifically are not working on it.
I mean,
but
I feel like, in a way, we're contributing to
true.
It.
That's true.
To the imperative to figure that out. Come on, people.
Yes, seriously.
Mad scientists.
There's money in there. Even if Pfizer doesn't believe us, there's money there, I promise.
Yeah. They said I was mad back at the university, but I'll show them all. You do feel it in your body. When mm-hmm. someone is sucking your cock, they can put pressure, you know, there's pressure on your clit, pressure on your vulva from the base of the dildo. You can sometimes feel the silicone conducts vibration and, mm-hmm. and movement, so you can kind of actually like feel like the sensation of someone sucking conducted through the whole dick on your body.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like you can, I mean, you can feel it energetically and emotionally, for sure. And I think the more times you use a silicone dick or, you know, a dildo, the more you kind of get that, like, mapping on your brain parts. Yeah. I've definitely had moments where I'm like, I'm feeling this in my clit, even though it's not touching my clit.
Yeah. Huh,
you know, which is really fucking hot.
Yeah, and amazing and magical.
Totally. Yeah. And, but at the same time, yeah, absolutely. You can do all sorts of interesting things about applying pressure and touching mm-hmm. different parts of your body. And I like to get fingered while I'm getting a blowjob.
Yeah, there are great double dildos where, you know, I feel like the sort of myth of the double dildo is, like, two people, like, bottoming to the toy simultaneously. Mm-hmm. But for me, I really like to sort of hold and feel the pressure of the one end mm-hmm. of the dildo inside me while someone is, while someone's hole, whichever hole it is on the sort of more fallacy extending dick side of the toy.
Right. So yeah, it's kind of talking about like the share and the fieldo and a couple of other.
Yeah, the share is my, that's my man.
That's your boo.
Yeah, that's my boo right there. Love you. Love you. XOXO.
Awesome.
Little kiss emoji to the share. Listen, Allison Moon, author, storyteller, sex educator, mega babe.
Hey. Add that one to my bio.
Thanks for being under the covers with me.
Thank you. This was a lot of fun. It's fun to talk about things that I like in addition to just sexy concepts. It's like sexy concepts plus pleasure.
Yeah. Well, I feel like 2015 is going to be a huge year for you. And I can't wait to see what happens. And if people want to ask you questions about pegging or any subject at all that you can consent to answer to at your whim, or to tell you how great you are, or just like recommend things or do whatever, how might they do that?
info@girlsex101.com is my email address, or you can find me on Twitter at the Allison Moon. Mm-hmm. Allison with two L's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, everybody should fucking do that, and thanks for coming over.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 25. Future episodes feature Poppy Cox talking about bicycles and Tristan Terramino talking about butt plugs. To stay in the loop, follow at Tina Horns S and at Into That Podcast on the Twitter. Subscribe and write us a review if you please on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And visit whyarepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to all 25 episodes. Next month, my guest is prolific erotica author Rachel Kramer Bussell on her bread and butter.
And I think that there's this fantasy element to it of like, okay, I'm whether or not you're like going to do that in real life, you can experience it via erotica. You know, you can go to a sex party, you can go to a nude hotel, you can go to a dominatrix, you can, yeah. You know, you can have all these things happen that, you know, are realistic within the context of a story, mm-hmm. And you can enjoy it, like, you can enjoy it as a fantasy. I don't think we have enough space in our culture to enjoy things as fantasy. I think that we tend to take things really literally, so if someone says to you, like, my fantasy is to do this, people hear, I want to do this right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe they do want to do that now or in the future, but maybe they just want to talk about it as a fantasy. And I think erotica gives readers space to indulge in just the fantasy element, like to enjoy it in their mind, you know? And I don't think, I think that even within relationships, sometimes talking about fantasies can get complicated because the other person might not know where that line of like thinking about it and wanting to try it is. And I think for a lot, some people do read erotica with a partner, but if you're reading erotica or, on your own, you are taking that space and you're, you know, you can enjoy it however you want. You know, you can identify maybe with the character who seems like you, but maybe with the character who's nothing like you, you know, and you don't know how that's gonna go.
As ever, Why Are People Into That is produced and hosted by Tina Horn. That's me. Our theme song is by Pine. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque, and we are exclusively sponsored by Smitten Kitten. Until next time, I'll be doing more research into the age-old question, does butt sex make you gay?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.